Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So I remember like it was yesterday, but it was some, I don't know, 10 plus years ago now. But my oldest son, Will, who is a freshman in college now, when he was in the fourth grade, he started playing basketball for the first time. And, you know, he was on the school team, and it was all fourth and fifth graders. And many of them were just like Will, had just started playing basketball for the first time. Now, basketball was my favorite sport growing up, and I always loved to play ball and everything. But I clearly couldn't have been happier that Will was going to start playing basketball. So I volunteered to coach. So I coached the team, and it was fun. This was also in the middle of when we were in Pittsburgh. We lived in Pittsburgh for 3 years while going to seminary. And I don't know if you've ever been to Pittsburgh or know much about it or have met many people from there, but they grow them big in Western Pennsylvania. You know, Chicago is the city of broad shoulders, right? But I think Pittsburgh has to be a close second, all right? So our team of fourth and fifth graders was actually on the complete opposite end of the spectrum of broad shoulders. All of our fourth and fifth graders, they were small kids. They were skinny, they were short, you know, and most of them, just like Will, had never played basketball before. Now, I remember showing up to the first game and going, uh-oh. So this other team we were playing had fourth graders that were, like, bigger than me, right? So, of course, the game ended just about how you would expect it to end. And from that point on, though, the coaching philosophy was pretty simple. Was pretty easy. The first and foremost consistent thing I drilled into these kids every day was control what you can control. You can't control how big the other team is. You can't control if the referee makes a bad call. You can't control the fact that this game of fourth and fifth graders is full of kids who drove themselves that day, you know. All you can control is your attitude and your effort. That's what you can control. Attitude and effort. That's an effort. That's a choice that you have to make every single day, every hour, every play of every game. And Ben, how many times have you heard me say that since then? I tell these boys that all the time. Control what you can control. And all you can control is your attitude and your effort. So when I think of things like this, my mind quite easily goes to that rather significant and great Tolkien-type theology, that conversation that says, no matter the course of life that you're in, no matter where you are at this point in life, whether it's good or bad or joyful or painful or easy or difficult, all that any of us have to decide is what to do with the time we've been given. That's it. Control what we can control. We decide what we can do with the time we've been given. And this is the same thing that I consider every single day, especially when I think about our congregation. And the course that we have been on these last 3+ years now. You know, in July, it's going to be 4 years. And in these last 3+ years, I really believe that we have gone through 15 years worth of experiences. Some really good. Some are just beyond amazing. Some tragic. And some are normal things. But we've gone through about 15 years of experience these last three. And through all of those things, we can only control what we can control. And all we really need to do is decide what to do with the time that we've been given. So this morning, we heard from St. Paul, who wrote in this first letter that he wrote to the Christians who are in the city of Corinth. You know, we'll be reading some of this letter over the next few weeks. But today, what we read was the introduction to this letter. And, you know, there is always an easy temptation, I believe, when reading introductions like these, especially those in Paul's letters, because he wrote so many of them, and so many of them are fairly similar. But there is a temptation for us to read through the introduction rather quickly. I've read that. I know Paul's greeting us in the name of Jesus. Okay, let's get to the meat of what he's saying. But if we do that, then we really miss a lot of the significance and depth, the richness that is present even in these introduction words. So Paul introduces himself this morning. And he introduces also a brother, Sosthenes. So Sosthenes had a reputation. He had a reputation long before this letter was written. And back in Acts chapter 18, we read about Sosthenes for the first time, really the only other time. And he was a leader. He was a leader of the Jewish synagogue there in Corinth. And he was quite hostile to Gentiles, and he was even more hostile to the followers of Jesus, to these new Christians. And he was greatly encouraged, though it didn't really require much encouragement, to be honest, to bring a case against Paul. Because, you know, finally put an end to this rabble-rouser, this guy who was leading these new followers of Jesus, let's finally put an end to this uprising that was taking place. Well, Sosthenes was quite unsuccessful in that. And then over the course of the next few years, we don't know exactly how that happened, but over the course of the next few years, Sosthenes went from this hostile persecutor of these new Christians to now being referred to by Paul as brother. So there's a richness and depth simply in this introduction of this one person, this one character. The richness is there because of the transformation that took place in his life, in Sosthenes' life. Before being transformed and being met by the risen Lord Jesus, he spent all of his time trying to control things that were clearly beyond his control. Well, now we have Paul and Sosthenes, a fellow brother, and all the other Christian believers who are pulled together. They're pulled together, and this is what it says. I love this. It says they're pulled together, and they are called to be saints together with those who, in every place, call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. And it's there's two words there that really stopped me in the preparations this week, that took hold of me. Saints together. They're called to be saints together. Opposing minds called together, hostilities called close, ambitions that were quite different, quite opposing, have been brought now to the same place. Anger and malice have been now consumed and digested. Hurt and shame have been cast into the fiery furnace of the Lord's goodwill. All in order for God's very good creation, that is, you and me, Paul and Sosthenes, all humankind, all people, God's very good creation, to be brought together despite the hostility that existed. To become, not only to be brought together, but to become saints together. And then, because it doesn't just stop there, and then to bring more people to become saints along in this march toward glory. Always calling upon the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, as the only source that could ever possibly unite such a number. And Paul gives thanks for that number. He gives thanks for people being brought together with completely different mindsets, completely different abilities, completely different ambitions, and even hostilities. He gives thanks for that number being brought together. And the only way that he could possibly give thanks in such circumstances is because the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ allowed him to give thanks for such. And it was all for a reason. It wasn't just arbitrary. It was all for a great purpose, a great reason. The purpose of using these gifts that God has given people, these different ambitions and skills and abilities, using the different gifts to enrich all speech and knowledge, is what he says. To enrich all speech and knowledge. To share the grace of God to others. So that more and more and more saints will be brought in to this glorious march. Knowledge, love, fellowship, forgiveness, all because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come to the last couple of verses of what Paul is saying to us this morning that I think really say a lot about who God is and then who we are to God. First of all, we see in verse 9, he says, God is faithful. All of this, the bringing together of people who should not be together, the coming together of things that were formerly hostile, the removal of indifference and difference and shame and aggression and anger, the removal of all that, the acceptance of the knowledge and love of God and forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. Because of this, God is faithful. And we see it. We see it happening when people from all over the world are brought together. God is faithful. And who is God? God by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We see who God is and we see who we are. Despite the differences that we have, despite the tragedies that we go through in life, we have all been brought together for a purpose, for a reason. And we've been called together to be saints in the fellowship of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because of God's faithfulness, all of the saints have been called together into one mismatched but glorious tapestry, or maybe patchwork, of worshipers in Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. So, now to circle back.
This brings us back,
I think, to what we can control. And not only what we can control, but what we choose to do with the time that we've been given. 15 years worth of experiences, events, tragedies, traumas, triumphs, joys, all fit together into the tightly woven sack of the last 3+ years. Some things are clearly beyond our control. So, we have to control what we can. Our attitude, our effort, and then continuously decide what to do with the time that we've been given. So, I think we make no mistake about it. There will be more challenges, experiences, events, and even tragedies that will come up. How will we respond? We know that because of Jesus Christ, we know that hostility is erased and grace is given because we, all of us in here today, have been called together to be with each other. And others will come along as well, along the way. But we have all been called, nonetheless, into a fellowship of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me. How great is our God, oh we'll see. How great is our God. Age to age he stands, time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great our God, sing with me. How great is our God, oh we'll see. How great, how great is our God. You're the name above all names, you are worthy. Our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing.